Welcome to Higher Ground Ministries, where we believe God's Word still speaks today. Our mission is to teach the truth of God's Word from generation to generation, building up believers and reaching hearts with the hope of Christ. Each week, we share messages from our church services, praying they strengthen your faith and encourage your heart. Join us in person or online Sundays at 10 a.m. and Tuesdays and Thursdays at 7 p.m. For more information, visit hgministries.org.
Scriptures openly declare there are no other gods. It's you and no other. There is no one like you, Lord, in all the earth. Thank you for the worship team that sang and the many who came for practice and the efforts, wrote songs, and Lord, stayed up sometimes, I'm sure, through late hours in order to make sure they had everything ready. Bless all of the people that worked the sound team, all of the brothers and sisters who help renovate the sanctuary, make this altar area so beautiful. Lord, I just, from my humble estimation, this is the best this church has ever looked. I'm just so blessed to see all that the helps team and the leadership here is doing. Bless those who financed it. Go into their homes, Lord Jesus, and touch their lives. Paint their doors and build their houses and give their businesses a boost. Lord, beautify the things that they need. We give you praise and glory. Open the eyes, I pray, of our understanding now as we open your holy word, that we might see what you have written in your word. We give you the glory and praise. Lord, I just want to take a minute and add my faith again to Pastor Kaminsky's birthday. I thank you that this will be his best year ever. He'll reach more people. His voice will go further. His impact, you'll lengthen to 10 stakes, Lord Jesus. He'll get more done with less effort. And the team around him will rise with great victory and a shout of strength, and that we are going to war together for our God. We give you the praise and glory in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Amen. Would you give the Lord one more hand clap and go ahead and be seated. Hallelujah. I could have prayed my way into the evening service. Lord, it's good in here today. Hallelujah. Amen. Well, I didn't know I had married the birthday ninja, so that was a blessing. She's blaming it on AI, but I don't think so. Hallelujah. Amen. I will tell you this. It was all her idea. That was not at all my idea. I'm more serious, so hallelujah. Did you bring a Bible today? Amen. Would you turn with me to the book of Isaiah chapter 28? We'll pick it up at verse 9, Isaiah chapter 28, verse 9. I love the renovations you guys have done. God bless you. Amen. You know, I often talk at our church. I don't know how many times we renovated it. Our old building, you know, I think when we tore it down, the room was like 12 by 12. When we bought it, it was 100 foot wide, but we put so much paint on the inside of it, you couldn't hardly get to the wall receptacles, you know, to plug anything in. They were so far back in there because there's 8 feet of paint on those walls. Hallelujah. Had to put extenders on everything. Amen. But that's the way it is in the house of God, right? You just keep taking ground and moving on and taking more ground and moving on. And thank God. Thank God, thank God, thank God. Praise God. I'm just glad to be here. Amen. I'm glad to be a Christian anywhere, but I'm glad to be here. Amen. Angel, you did so good with that song this morning, brother. I was blessed. That really blessed me. Amen. Now that I know you can do that good, we'll just, you know, expect it every time. Hallelujah. Amen. Isaiah chapter 28, we'll talk about, I'll get into my title later. Isaiah 28 verse 9, let's study this together. Would that be all right? I'm going to read a couple of verses here today. It says, whom will he teach knowledge, and whom will he make to understand the message? Those just weaned from milk, those just drawn from the breast, in other words, children. It says, for precept must be upon precept, precept upon precept. It repeats. It's not because God doesn't know, he's already said it. He's repeated it for effect. Amen. I've often said, you know, my father probably told me the same story 8,000 times. I don't know if he didn't remember the other 7,999, or he didn't know if I got it or not. But God's not that way. He very well knows what he's already said. He's saying it again to make sure you get it, make sure I get it. Amen. Let's read it again. For precept must be upon precept, precept upon precept, line upon line, line upon line, here a little, there a little. For with stammering lips, New Testament calls that our, you know, praying in tongues, he will speak to this people, to whom he said, this is the rest with which you may cause the weary to rest, and this is the refreshing, yet they would not hear. That's something. He's breaking it down as basic as he can, but even at that level, they don't want to listen to what he has to say. I know you don't know anybody like that, so just stretch your imagination. Hallelujah. If you've ever parented, you know exactly what I'm talking about. Praise the Lord. 13. But the word of the Lord to them, look at this, was precept upon precept. He knows that they don't like it. You know how much he changed? Not a bit. As if to say, couldn't care less. Because once it's perfect, he's not going to adjust it. If there was a better way to do that, he would have done it the other way the first time. Amen. So he repeats, precept upon precept, line upon line, here a little, there a little, that they might go back and fall backward and be broken and snared and caught. What's that mean, Brother Ray, that God would purposely drive them away? No, but that fleshly hard thing comes off of them. Amen. That Jesus, you know, well understood, part of his ministry was he was a stumbling block. How'd you like to have God call you that? I put you in so everybody gets mad at you. Thanks a lot. Feels like the fivefold, doesn't it? Hasn't changed much. Hallelujah. My point is honestly, this is the language of what we would call a brick mason. As he's laying the block, that whole first row is flat. And then everything is straight according to that taunt line that goes in front of it. Then when that's established, we'll go up a row. And that mason's going to keep that straight and level each row as it goes so that that wall stands when he's done with it. Amen? This isn't the way I teach. This is the way the Holy Spirit teaches. That's why when you hear certain things again and again, it isn't the pastor repeating them, it's the Holy Spirit repeating them. Because this is his teaching method, if I can say it that way. Amen? Let's study this a little bit more. Would you go with me to the book of Exodus chapter 3? Exodus chapter 3, verse 1. I'm going to read a couple of verses here pretty quick and jump around a little bit, but we'll get where we belong. Hallelujah. It says, now Moses was tending the flock of Jethro, the priest of Midian, and he had led the flock to the back of the desert, and he came to Horeb, the mountain of God. And the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a flame of fire, that's great, in the midst of a bush. So he looked, and behold, the bush was burning with fire, but the bush was not consumed. You know, for 40 years, Moses has been looking for the visitation of God, right? He tries to start his ministry in Egypt. It doesn't go well. He runs to get away from Pharaoh. He finds himself out there working for Jethro, the priest in Midian. He's taking care of his sheep. no other way to read that or interpret that other than that he's in the helps ministry. He's doing what you're doing. He's helping in the house of God to the best of his ability. He doesn't know everything, but he's just doing what he can to walk with God. Amen. The beauty to God is as you're doing that, you are learning things. Amen. Exodus chapter 33. Verse 13, God and Moses are having quite a conversation here. Moses has gone back. They've come out of Egypt, right? And they're now headed towards the promised land, towards it anyways, not there. 13, Moses and God have this conversation. Exodus 33, 13. Now, therefore, I pray, if I have found grace in your sight, show me now your way, that I might know you and that I might find grace in your sight and consider that this nation is your people. And he said, my presence will go with you and I will give you rest. He said to him, if your presence does not go with us, do not bring us up from here. Moses has a problem, but it's a good one. It's probably the same thing you and I have. Once you get a taste of the glory, you don't ever want to be somewhere where it's not. Once you've had the visitation of God, I don't want a duplicate or something close. If you've ever been where God manifests, in a good way, it ruins you. Because nothing else will satisfy that. When I began to work in the ministry of helps, Janine and I went out to the San Diego Holy Spirit Conference. Pastor was doing that out there. This is going back a ways. Nathan was probably my son. He's probably 10 at the time, something like that. But he got so tired from the flight. I had gone out early, and then Janine and the kids were coming a little bit later. And when they got out there, he had just this terrible migraine headaches he would deal with. You know what I'm talking about? She actually would have to take all the curtains and close them in the room, try to make the room as quiet as she could. That little kid, you know, he just shake from the pain in his head. You know, as a parent, you'd rather be sick yourself than watch your kid deal with that nonsense. So she told me what was going on. She brought him to church, and I'm in the back room with Dr. Barclay, and Pastor looks at me, and I said, you know, Pastor, in a million years, we just had a minute by ourselves. I said, you know, in a million years, I'd never steer your church service. I just wouldn't. This is yours. You obey God. But Nate is so hurting. If God even hints to you to have a healing line tonight, I'm begging you, please, I need this kid out of this. You know, service comes and goes that night, and at the end, Pastor has a healing altar call, and probably, I'm guessing, 8 people came up front. It wasn't like a big, you know, the whole church came up. So there's all these adults and then Nate, right, all lined up. And as they stood there, Pastor laid hands on, and he's going through everybody, and he touching them. And when he gets to Nathan, he just stops, and he points at him. He said, now these are going to get less and less. It's going to get weaker and weaker. You're going to get stronger, and these are going to go away. You're not going to live with this the rest of your life. When he got done, Nate found his way back to where Janine was sitting, and he got back there and sat down, and he began to cry. And Janine looked at him. She said, honey, what's the matter? Are you okay? He says, Mom, he touched me. She said, no, Pastor laid hands on everybody, but he pointed at you. And again, through the tears, he said, no, Mom, he touched me. She said, no, honey, Pastor, sorry. You know, when you're a dad, your kids are your world, man. And finally, she explained it again, and he shot back. He said, Mom, I'm not talking about Pastor. I felt him, 8, 10 years old. See, God will put you where he can touch you. His modus operandi is to place you where the glory can come to you. It's how he thinks. That's why you can't just move around and do your own thing, because he puts you where he can touch you. That's what he wants to do. Angel, once I saw God would work like that, it changed my whole life. I'm not anywhere for any people. I wait every time for that to happen, or when that glory comes in and it begins to change. You know what I'm talking about? People can come and go and they can do whatever they want. In all honesty, it's none of my business. I'm not going anywhere. Look at this. 14. And he said, my presence will go with you and I will give you rest. If your presence does not go, Lord, don't send us up from here. 16. How then will it be known that your people and I have found grace in your sight except you go with us? So we shall be separate. That's what separates the church today. It's the visitation of God Almighty in his house. From all the people around the face of the earth. So the Lord said to Moses, I will do this thing that you have spoken, for you have found grace in my sight. He said to him, please show me your glory. 19. And I will make all my goodness pass before you, and I will proclaim the name of the Lord. I will be gracious to whom I will be gracious. I'll have compassion on whom I will have compassion. But he said, you cannot see my face, for no man has seen my face and live. In other words, I could show you me, but you won't make it. I'm not the problem, Moses. Your body can't stand it. I could do it, but you'd have to relocate when I got done. I need you here. Amen. Look at this, verse 21. And the Lord said to him, here is a place by me, and you shall stand on the rock. I'll come back to that. So it shall be while my glory passes by that I will put you in the cleft of the rock, and I will cover you with my hand. Then I will take away my hand, and you shall see my back, but my face shall not be seen. It was as if when God formed the whole earth, he knew this day was coming. He knew Moses was going to ask to see him face to face. And God, say God, God had preset a spot in the side of that mountain where he could put Moses so when he walked by, that glory would get on that man. It was a preset up, just like what Pastor Katie was talking about. God set it up that way. I'm going to set you where I can visit you. You want to see me? I'm going to place you. And that's what the church is all about. Brother Ray, why are you at your church? Why am I at Higher Ground Church? Because it's a place that God set up where his glory can visit you there, where he can walk by and touch your life so that you don't stay the same person you were when he met you. It's how God thinks. Let's study this a little bit more. Can we go in the New Testament? Luke chapter 24. Luke chapter 24, verse 45. And he, that's Jesus, opened their understanding that they might comprehend the scriptures. You should pray for that every day. Amen. Just humbly speaking, you should pray for that every day. I do before I teach. Lord, open our eyes. Help us to see. Thus it was written, and thus it was necessary, I'm in 46, for the Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead on the third day, and that repentance and remission of sin should be preached in his name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things. Behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you. I'd call that the glory. But tarry in the city of Jerusalem. Why? Until you are endued with power from on high. I'm going to take you, I'm going to place you where my visitation can come. It wasn't just any place. It was an upper room, and he told them what to do, and stay there till what? Till the glory comes on you. Don't leave until I can visit you there. Amen? That's how God thinks. Now, I asked Pastor about this before. I'm just going to pause my sermon for just a minute. I'm going to grab another point, and I'll come right back. Is that all right? Over the course of time, you know, they're in the book of Revelation, chapter 5, chapter 6, there's a great time of judgment, right? What we call the Great Tribulation. Talks about the seven seals being broken. It talks about judgment falling out on the earth. all kinds of horrible things begin to happen on the earth, happening to people, happening to nature. And the question came, they call that the tribulation period. I know you're a well-taught church, but just stay with me for a minute. They call that period the Great Tribulation. And the question came, when that happens, where will the Christians be? Where will the church be? They believe, some believe, and I believe in what's called the pre-tribulation rapture, or the catching away of the church prior to that time of judgment that's coming, right? Others believe that in the middle of the tribulation, the rapture will take place. From 1 Thessalonians 4:15-18, it says, we shall not all sleep, but some will be caught up, amen. The Lord will come and take us up. You won't go through a natural death. We believe that that's coming very soon. But some believe through the middle of the tribulation that'll happen, then you'll be gone. And others believe at the end of the tribulation, which I feel sorry for those people. Amen. You stay here however long you want. I am the first elevator up. I'm out of here. Amen. Thank you very much. You tell me who the Antichrist was. I really don't care. Amen. I'll be gone. Here's why I believe what I believe. Over the course of time, there was a man by the name of Dr. Hilton Sutton. Dr. Sutton he was a father in faith of my pastor. He used to come to our church almost every year. I think the last time I talked to Dr. Sutton as we were driving around, or I was getting him ready in the back prayer room area, he told me he had studied end time eschatology 100,000 hours. You learn a few things somewhere after 95,000, I would think. You could not like his doctrine. You better not try to argue with his doctrine, because he's really going to make you look foolish, because he really did know his topic. Amen. I always thought Dr. Sutton won the argument, because when they asked him about the rapture, when will it take place? He said, well, definitely the church will be gone before the tribulation. They said, how can you get that out of those verses? He said, I don't know that I see it in those verses. I find it in the rest of the Bible. He said, because it's not God's pattern, say pattern. It's not his pattern, it's not how he thinks to leave the church in the same judgment that the sinner is getting. This was his reasoning. He said it would be like the day of Lot, the day of Noah. When the judgment fell in Sodom and Gomorrah, where was Lot and his family? Already removed. That's the pattern. When the judgment came in Noah's day and the flood fell, the flood waters came, where was Noah and his family? They already rose above it. God had already made for them a way to get them out of it. Said, you're asking me to say that God changes now somewhere around Revelations 1 because it's the end times. And he said, that's not the consistency of the scriptures. I could go on. In the time of Egypt, remember when the angel would come and it would strike the oldest born. But over in Goshen, Israel was already separated by the blood that they would put over the doorpost. Make sense? That's what he was saying. It's not God's pattern. I'm trying to show you from the Old and New Testament, God's pattern is to put you where he can visit you. That's how he thinks. Why are you at Higher Ground Church? Because God has something coming in your future. He puts you in the side of that mountain so he can walk by you and touch you and bless your future. That's why you can't just go do your own thing, amen? Because God has a sovereign place for you to be at a sovereign time. And when you're there, he's there, his visitation comes, the glory begins to fall. And it will change your life forever. There's nothing like it. Study this a little bit more with me, would you please? Go with me to the book of Acts chapter 13. Acts chapter 13, verse 1. This is Saul of Tarsus. He's given his life to the Lord, becomes Paul. Verse 1. It says, now in the church that was in Antioch, there were certain prophets and teachers, Barnabas and Simeon, called Niger, Lucius, Cyrene, Manaen, who had been brought up with Herod at the Tetrarch, and Saul. And as they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Spirit said, who said? Said, now separate to me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them. Then they fasted and prayed and laid hands on them, and they sent them away. Where did God put Saul of Tarsus? But in a place where his glory could come by. so he could be prepared for his future. See how God thinks? This is his pattern consistently. I won't go there for the sake of time, but 1 Corinthians chapter 12, it says the same thing, that God made the body. Well, let's go there real quick. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Verse 12. 1 Corinthians 12, 12. Look at this. For as the body is one and has many members, but all the members of that one body being many are one body, so also is Christ. So he's trying to explain how he designed the body of Christ. For by one Spirit we were all baptized into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, whether slaves or free, for all have been made to drink into one Spirit. I don't have a different Holy Spirit than you do. The great Apostle Paul, the great Apostle John, Peter, they all had the same Holy Spirit. Amen? So we all have access to the same power if you take use of that access. You can use it, you can ignore it. Amen? If you cook something in your house and there's salt and your food comes out bland, that's not the fault of the salt shaker. You have to pick it up and shake it a little bit if you want the flavor. The same thing is true with the Holy Ghost. You can have them, but you got to pick it up and shake a little bit, brother. Amen? Hallelujah. Get busy. Amen. For in fact, the body is not one member, but many. If the foot should say, because I'm not a hand, is it not of the body? Is it therefore not of the body? If the ear should say, if the sound man should say, I'm not the preacher, I'm not important. If the children's worker should say, I'm not important, I'm not in the main sanctuary. If the people clearing the parking lot, they're going to become the most important people in the church in a few hours. Amen. If the security team should say, well, it doesn't matter. Nobody ever sees what I do. Do you know how many clothes I ruined working in the parking lot of the church? I have it on good authority. God saw it all. And God cares. How many times? I remember one time fixing somebody's car in the parking lot, laying underneath the car with a white shirt on, getting oil all over it. I know Janine saw it, but I'd like to think Jesus Christ saw it. Amen. My point is I had the same Holy Spirit that day as I have today. I just was working where man didn't see it, but God saw every last thing I did. You know what more? It mattered to him. I think he was blessed by the fact that I took care of somebody in the house of God. And it goes on here and it says, but indeed, verse 20, there are many members, yet one body, and the eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you, nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. Much rather, those members of the body which seem to be weaker are what? Necessary. Not unnecessary. Necessary. We need you. We need you if you're doing a little, if you're doing a lot. We need you. We need the anointed you, not the other one that shows up sometimes. Amen? Do you ever notice there's days you read your Bible and then there's the other days you're around? Hallelujah. While the wives are raising their husbands' hands, hallelujah. Here's my point. God chose all of those positions in the church, if we can say it that way. Why? Because that is the place of his visitation for you. As you function there, as you flow there, you begin to hear the voice of God. You begin to learn how to flow with the Holy Spirit. You begin to understand what God's wanting to do. And all of this, if I can say it this way, the spiritual awareness is coming to you. And it becomes enhanced in your life because that's how God thinks. I was in South Africa last November. And the meetings were going good, and they called me and they said, you know, Brother Ray, we'd like to add a meeting, have you go to another church that's not in this main area. I said, it's fine, no problem. I'll be glad to go. And I'm getting ready to preach, right? So I'm getting ready to preach. I start reminiscing. When I was really struggling financially, there's about five verses that just brought me through it. just really brought me through it. And I'm going through all of these and I'm writing them down, and it's like memory lane for me, and it was wonderful. And I thought, wow, this is great. Finally, the Lord speaks to me. He said, and that's what you're preaching on tonight. Fine. I go to this church. This is not American poverty. These people don't have wood floors. They don't have running water. They don't have electricity. You understand what I'm talking about? This is not American poverty. They don't have a two-room house. It's basically two pieces of tin, like we would call corrugated tin, like a chicken coop type metal, right? Take two of them, lay them on their side this way, two there, two behind you. Take wood, like tree post, put them in the ground, wire them together, that's their house. Right? When it gets cold, like 50, 55 for them is cold, they sleep together like puppies to try to stay warm. I'm going to go in here and I'm going to preach on prosperity. Years ago, I came into our church and I used to do the announcements and this church service started. Pastor tells me what he wants done. Are you still with me on a Sunday morning? Pastor tells me what he wants done. I said, no problem. He and I get done. I start making my way towards the sanctuary. Before I do, one of the ministers catches me, say, we're making an adjustment. I don't think too much about it. I just say, okay, we're making an adjustment. And I got up there and I made the announcements. And when I got done, there was an usher waiting right there. There. I'll never forget there, because he was there. I was there. He was there. And he said, Pastor would like to talk to you. Well, that's nice. I'd like to talk to Pastor too. He's a great man. Hallelujah. I don't even know anything's gone wrong yet. Go back there and I look at him and, hi, Pastor. He wasn't like, hi, Ray. Hey, Goober. I mean, it was just like not good. He said, you changed it. Why'd you change it? I said, well, he told me that him. He told me you wanted to adjust. He said, I never adjusted anything. I said, Pastor, I didn't know. I never just, he said, and this was what he told me. He said, Ray, from now on, I have to answer to Jesus Christ for everything that happens in this church. So if I do whatever you and I agree on back here, just make sure that's what happens out there. He said, because if I can't be held accountable for things and not have the say of what's going on around here. Have you ever? Pastor, I'm in Pella, South Africa, preaching last November. That's 2025. And I want to change this sermon so bad, you have no idea. And all I can think of is that usher right there. And I have no right. This isn't my church. These aren't my people. I don't hold their future. My job is to say what he told me in my prayer closet before I ever got here, and that this does not get adjusted. I got up and I began to share those verses. That church came alive. We went on after that Friday night meeting. I mean, it was just one of those wonderful nights. Amen. We went on from that Friday night meeting. I went back, did a Saturday, Sunday morning, then they added a Sunday night. Sunday night when we showed up for church, almost that entire church from that backwoods area came. I don't know how they got so many people in one van. I don't know how they got a van. You know what I'm talking about? If you've ever done missions work, you will understand that if you have a car, you are the world's most popular person. Amen. You might come to church, you and the pastor, you will leave with 40 others in the back seat. Seriously, one time in Uganda, I showed up, there were 3 cars in the parking lot inside the church, 1,500 people. It's just not like here. My point is at the end of that Sunday night service, I opened it up for questions and answers, and one young man about 16, 18 years old stood up in the back, and he said, Brother Ray, I just want to thank you so much for what you preach at our church on Friday night. It's absolutely changed my life. And all I can think of is, what if I had not been adjusted so many years before that I just read the room and I'm going to make adjustments as if it doesn't matter. God put me. Do you understand what I'm talking about? He put me where he could teach me how to flow with him. He showed me how to hear his voice. He was teaching me. I thought I was just doing announcements. He was getting me ready for 30 years from now so I wouldn't make adjustments with the word of God and I would change a person's future by not only my sins of commission but omission, the things I neglected to do because I wanted to adjust them out. They weren't comfortable for me. Amen? The same thing is happening. I mean, I was talking to Pastor John yesterday. He used to do sound here. And you don't realize at the time that God is getting you ready for your future. Go with me to Exodus chapter 40. We're going to study this one more time in the Old Testament. Are you with me on a Sunday morning? Amen. Exodus chapter 40. We'll pick it up here at verse 16. I'll never forget Exodus 40, 16, because when I read this, I was falling asleep. This, you know, if you haven't read your Bible, then get up and read your Bible tired, but read it. Amen? If you haven't spent time in prayer, then spend some time in prayer, even if you have to do it tired, but do it. Amen? Dr. George Evans, which was Dr. Barclay's Bible school teacher, this is something he used to teach me, and I don't know about the other brothers, but he used to teach me this when I would drive around with him. This has always helped me. He said, you know, it's the job of the priest to gather wood as they would travel through the wilderness. They go location to location, location, but the priest never knew when the cloud would stop and they would sacrifice there. So as they would walk, they'd gather wood all the time. The days God would light it and the days God wouldn't, you just always gathered wood because you didn't know. And he used to say, that's how it is with Bible reading. You gather the wood, it's God's job to light it. If you don't have any wood, there's nothing for God to light. It's not his job to gather it, that's yours. If he did light it, but you had no wood, it wouldn't stay long because there's nothing to hold the fire. The wood holds it. You read your Bible on the days you understand it and on the days you don't. It's God's job to light it. If you'll read it enough, you won't read it for too long before Pastor will get up here and say something exactly that you have read this week. I will guarantee you it always happens that way. Somebody will quote something, somebody will say something, it will jump off of the pages of your life. Why? Because God's lighting it. But he can't light it if you don't have any wood. Amen? So even if you, quote, don't understand it, just keep reading. When God's ready, he will light that thing, and it will become the joy of your life. Can you say amen? Amen. Let's read on. Exodus chapter 40, 16. Thus Moses did, because God's commanded him to build the tabernacle. Thus Moses did according to all that the Lord had commanded him, so he did. Maybe one of the best Bible school lessons you'll ever study, that verse 16. Whatever God told you to do, do it. Amen. 17, and it came to pass on the first day of the month, the second year, on the first day of the month, that the tabernacle was raised up. So Moses raised up the tabernacle, fastened its sockets, set up its boards, put on its bars, and raised up its pillars. This does not look to be so spiritual just yet. Isn't that correct? Raising up sockets and boards doesn't look like much yet. 19, and he spread out the tent over the tabernacle and put the covering of the tent on top of it as the Lord had commanded Moses. We're going to see that phrase over and over again. Look at verse 21. And he brought up the ark into the tabernacle and hung the veil of the covenant of the covering as the Lord had commanded Moses. 23. And he set up the bread in order upon it as the Lord had commanded Moses. 25. And he lit the lamps before the Lord as the Lord had commanded Moses. 27. And he burned the sweet incense on it. You noticing a pattern here? As the Lord had commanded Moses. 29. And he put the altar and a burnt offering before the door of the tabernacle of the tent of meeting as the Lord had commanded Moses. Look at 33, and he raised up the court all around the tabernacle of the altar, all around, and he hung the screen on the court, and so Moses finished the work. 34, then the cloud covered the tabernacle of meeting, And the glory of the Lord was filled on the tabernacle. And Moses was not able to enter the tabernacle of meeting because the cloud rested above it, and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. Do you really think Moses was learning how to take care of animals for 40 years in the wilderness? Or was it preparation for this? And whenever the cloud was taken up above the tabernacle, the children of Israel would go onward in all their journeys. And if the cloud was not taken up, they did not journey till that day that it was taken up. For the cloud of the Lord was above the tabernacle by day, and fire was over it in the night, in the sight of all the house of Israel throughout all their journeys. The marquee thing was the presence of God Almighty in the tabernacle of God, or what I call the glory. That's what separated them. You know where Moses learned to do that? Taking care of Jethro's sheep. The word of the Lord to him was line upon line, line upon line, precept upon precept, precept upon precept. And for 40 years, he just kept doing the dues of life and ministry and life and ministry and life and ministry. And one day, God lit the wood. And everything began to work. And the power began to become realized in Israel. So much so that if you read on down into the, in past, you know, the Pentateuch, the first five books, and you get even into Jeremiah, the days of Esther, and Mordecai, and all of these things, you know what they're all doing? They're all going back, and God is sending them back to the book of the law written by Moses. It became so crucial to Israel's future that they could go back to what Moses wrote down in that law, that it totally set the course for the word of God that you and I still use to this day. In fact, if you go back to the original writings of this nation, they came, many of them, from the book of the law that God gave Moses, that he learned taking care of Jethro's sheep, working in the ministry of helps. How many lives do you think were affected because Moses kept going line upon line, precept upon precept, here a little, there a little, over and over again he heard it from Jethro, do this, God told you to do it, I don't care if it doesn't make sense to you, don't change it. It's the same thing that we see in the book of Exodus when God takes Moses up onto the mountain, he says, you build it according to the pattern shown you on the mountain. What's that mean? Don't let the people change it. Don't you change it because it's hard. Don't you change it because people don't understand. Amen? The same thing is true for the apostles. That's what. Why did Israel have a king? Because they wanted to be like the rest of the nations instead of what God had wanted for them to be. And though they had some really great kings, they had some really loser kings too. Are you with me? I am not willing to let people make dirty the house of God, when God put it here for me to find his glory. I'm not willing for them to smear this holy place that God set as a place for me and my children to come and to know the power of Jesus Christ. My wife was healed. She was bleeding with our first son, Nathan. We almost lost him. And she was healed because one of the elders of that church took and laid hands on it. It wasn't even a church service. It was just people doing in their homes what we had learned in the house of God. And she got healed instantly, and that's how Nathan was born. My daughter Kendra, and I could go through testimony after testimony after testimony of what God, say God, God did in our life as we began to see his manifestation. Brother Ray, why are you at your church? Why am I at this church? Because God set me here so he can visit me here. He chose a place in the side of the mountain for Ray Bench. He chose a place in the side of the hill, insert your name, so there he could walk by and his glory would come onto your life. And the power of the Holy Spirit that you've never known would begin to settle in your home. What happened to Obed-Edom when they brought the Ark of the Covenant into his house that day? I think 2 Samuel chapter 6. He didn't have time to prepare. Nobody tells him today we're dropping the Ark off, have a place for it out back. It's It's kind of an interesting thought if you really put it into perspective, because a couple hours before, the ark had just killed a man. And they said, hey, we're going to put it in your house. Oh, thanks a lot. Obed-Edom knew God. He had studied, had been part of the helps team. He had been doing different things in the house of God, and he knew the dues, and he knew how to walk with God. And as he did, that visitation came and that blessing came on his life. Can you say amen? Amen. Folks, this is what I'm trying to get through to all of us. What you're doing and who you are today isn't who you'll be in your future and your tomorrows. God's training you. He's bringing you along. He's getting you ready for a future that you can't even recognize now. Not so you can stay this way, but so you can leave where you are today to go to someplace greater. Can you say amen?
Amen.
You know, I'm preaching tonight. Janine has her meeting at 5, and I'll be coming on. But one of the things I'm going to get into is the Lord gave me a phrase. You know, I was praying over my year like everybody does. And the Lord, I was asking for something which to me was pretty big. This is what he spoke to me, and I'll get into it more tonight. But he said, son, what you're asking for is not impossible. It's just unseen. What you want is not impossible. It's just unseen. You don't see it yet. But it is coming. When Daniel had his prayer answered 21 days before, right, and it said the Lord sent it, but the devil fought the answer. You don't think that's maybe where you're living a little bit? God did send the answer. God is faithful, but the devil is opposing it. But it is coming. It is coming. God is good for his word. Amen. And we're going to get into that a little bit tonight. What you're believing for, what I'm believing for, these things are not impossible. They're just unseen. We can be changed into who God wants us to be. But folks, the real truth is we got to stay where the glory's coming. We got to be faithful while we're here. We got to make use out of what God's given us. Can you say amen? We have to have enough fortitude, spine, backbone. You know, there's two sides of the miracle. There's God's side. That's pretty easy in that sense. He does that side of it. But you got to have enough backbone to stay where God put you. Amen. And not just let people, I was reading it, you know, in Genesis 15, God tells Abraham, he says, take these carcasses and cut them in half and I'll come and I'll visit you there. But what happens? These things called vultures come along and tried to eat it up. You know what the Bible says Abraham did? He drove them away. Something tries to gobble up where God told you to be, you drive it away. You don't let those vultures come to stay, amen? And you stay because why? God's glory is going to come to you there, and his visitation is going to come upon you. Let me pray for you, everybody, and I'll turn this over to Pastor. Shelamano gule bede de beshe kele bede de beshe kele bede de beshe kele bendo go shukalamana galamana galamana galamana. Father, Higher Ground Ministries Church was no man's idea. It was heaven's. It was heaven's. My church, where I go, it was no man's idea. It was yours. For Peter to walk alongside of you at the seashores, that was no man's idea. You set that up. For Paul to be changed from this tyrant he was, crazed man, into an apostle of the Lamb, nobody came up with that idea, not on this earth. You did. All the dreams that are in your people represented here, you have a plan to bring your glory in their life and this manifestation. Father, I pray that in the coming days, the plan of your visitation will be known stronger and stronger and stronger and stronger and stronger. That the glory that we've seen in this house in now won't be what we talk about. It'll be what happens in our future and our tomorrows. The miracles, the signs, the wonders, the times of dancing and celebration and the laughter. the joy of the Lord and people drunk in the Holy Spirit, the glory being poured out upon this house, I thank you for. You've built this like you built that mountainside, to have a place for your people to go so you can visit us and talk with us and teach us your holy ways and make us into who you want us to be. We give you the praise and the glory for it. In Jesus' name, and all God's people said, amen. Would you give the Lord a good hand clap? Thank you for your time, everybody.
Thanks for joining us at Higher Ground Ministries. We pray today's message encouraged your heart and helped you grow in your walk with the Lord. Want to worship with us in person? Our services are Sundays at 10 a.m. and Tuesdays and Thursdays at 7 p.m. Learn more at hgministries.org and be sure to share this message with someone who needs encouragement today. Until next time, keep your eyes on Jesus and keep climbing higher.